Welcome to the Georgia Today podcast. Here, we bring you the latest reports from the GPB newsroom. On today's episode, the Canadian CEO of Atlanta's public transportation system resigns over an immigration problem. Marietta installs vape detectors in the district's public schools. And the story of a Georgia woman who has been detained by ICE twice, despite her claim that she was born American.
I kept trying to tell him when I was in court that, hey, my dad is an American citizen, you know, and it's just like one ear and out the other.
Today is Thursday, July 17th. I'm Peter Biello, and this is Georgia Today. Twenty-four states are suing the Trump administration to release $6 billion in promised federal education grants. GPB's Sarah Callis reports Georgia is not one of them.
Georgia Attorney General Chris Carr says the state will not join the suit. He said, quote, the president has the authority to ensure that these funds are being spent lawfully. The suit argues withholding the funds violates the Impoundment Act, governing how a president withholds funding. Meanwhile, U.S. Representative and Democrat Lucy McBath called for the release of the funds on the House floor Tuesday.
Instead of being in your child's classroom, your money is sitting in Washington here because the Secretary of Education could not be bothered to meet a deadline. That is the difference between a school having an after-school program or not.
Georgia school districts were supposed to receive around $40 million from the U.S. Department of Education July 1st to pay for programs, including after-school programs. For GPB News, I'm Sarah Callis.
President Trump was re-elected largely because of his promise to enforce the nation's immigration laws. And Immigration and Customs Enforcement is detaining all kinds of people. In Georgia, that includes a woman named Alma Bowman, who has been detained by ICE twice in her life, despite her claim that she was born American. GPB's Grant Blankenship explains.
Alma Bowman's kids, John and Chris Mitchell, still live in the same place Alma graduated high school, Jones County, in central Georgia.
All right, so during Trump 1, she was detained.
And so I've come to John's home to learn more about Alma's story. But not long after we start talking.
How did she get...
John gets a call.
That sounds important.
From his mom.
It is her.
Oh.
Yeah, I'll see if she would like to say anything to you
guys.
Yeah,
I'd love
to. Give me one quick sec.
She's calling from the ICE Stewart Detention Center in South Georgia. She's been there for over 4 months.
I'm doing pretty good. We're currently doing an interview with...
And after I press my mic up against John's phone, Alma says neither this detention nor her first one 8 years ago are anything she ever imagined happening.
Because my father... is an American citizen. He's my father, so that's all I know.
John Mitchell says what his mom thought she knew and what the federal government says they know first came into conflict in 2017 in Cobb County.
It was a regular traffic stop.
Alma got pulled over.
They ran her records and stuff and saw that she had a record.
A non-violent criminal record for which she'd already served time. But Cobb County had a so-called 287G agreement with ICE. And so when Alma's name came back as someone with legal permanent resident status or a green card, ICE asked the county to hold Alma for them. And during the detention that followed, Alma says she tried to tell immigration officials there's no way this should happen.
I kept trying to tell them when I was in court that, hey, my dad is an American citizen, you know, and it's just like one ear and out the other.
For 3 years. The reason Alma was so convinced she was a citizen when the government wasn't is both really simple and kind of complicated. First, her dad was an American. Lawrence Bowman was born and raised in Illinois. He was also a sailor in the U.S. Navy in the 1960s. That's how he met Alma's mom, Lolita Katarungan, in the city of Manila in the Philippines. The Philippines had actually been a part of the United States, a U.S. colony, when Alma's mom was born. After independence, the U.S. maintained a military presence in the Philippines. That's why Lawrence Bowman was there in the 1960s. And so Alma says when he left the Navy...
He went back with my mom to the USA to finish college so he can get a house and a job before they come and got me.
Which they did when Alma was 10.
And what did your dad ever say to you about... the paperwork or the legal stuff that had to happen for you to be able to do that, to come move to the States finally?
They never really mentioned anything.
I guess you just assume a dad's going to take care of that kind of thing, right?
Right, of course. I was only 10.
Samantha Hamilton is a staff attorney with Asian Americans Advancing Justice, and she represents Alma. And she says that's the story she had to tell as she bounced around ICE facilities acting as her own lawyer.
Yeah, I mean, she was getting up in front of that immigration judge and, you know, giving it her best shot. I mean, what else could she do?
Alma won her own release from detention. She and Samantha met after that and are still working on Alma's immigration case. Samantha says there's stories like Alma's pretty much anywhere the U.S. military has bases in a foreign country.
A lot of those servicemen have had children with local women in these other countries, and their children should be considered American citizens. I mean, they are American citizens.
Rose Cuisson-Villasor agrees. She's a law professor at Rutgers University, where she directs the school's Center for Immigrant Justice. She says Alma should be a U.S. citizen under a very old law.
Passed by Congress since 1790.
The Immigration and Naturalization Act says
that if a U.S. citizen has a child that's born abroad, that child derives citizenship, acquires citizenship through the parents' U.S. citizenship.
The law only applied to white people until 5 years after the Civil War. It was extended to some people of Asian descent in the 1940s. Rose says for most of the nation's history, though, it didn't take a ton of documentation to claim an overseas-born child's U.S. citizenship. She says things changed when the U.S. put those military bases in countries
whose population were primarily people of color.
Like the Philippines, Vietnam, Japan, South Korea. Congress passed the Amerasian Homecoming Act in the 1980s to ease immigration for kids from some of these countries, but not from the Philippines. Alma's parents are dead now. But still, attorney Samantha Hamilton says if it's proof the government wants, Alma has it.
We've got her birth certificate.
Why is that not enough for the federal government?
They are saying that she needs to establish a blood relationship between herself and Lawrence Bowman.
So how would we even do that?
By exhuming his body and spending $30,000.
To compare their DNA. Rose Cuisson-Villasor says that's not unheard of. She had a client who compared their DNA to their exhumed dad's.
Then they were able to then do a DNA test to prove 99% relationship between the father and my client.
Today, the U.S. State Department policy is that genetic proof a U.S. citizen is the parent of a foreign-born child is mandatory to transfer citizenship to the child, but that even a 99.5% DNA match is no guarantee. From 2020 to 2024, Alma lived a normal life at home. Then 2 months after Trump's second inauguration, at her annual in-person immigration check-in, ICE took her again.
So we went downstairs. It just went straight out of the elevator, straight through the outside, into an SUV, straight here.
To the Stewart Detention Center. If Alma is deported, it would likely be to the Philippines. But Samantha Hamilton says that country won't claim her either.
The Filipino government has recently sent a letter to Alma saying that, in their opinion, her birth certificate does not indicate that she is a Filipino citizen. I think she's an American citizen. In the alternative, I think she might be stateless. A person under no flag.
Meanwhile, Alma's daughter, Chris Mitchell, says her mom's trying to reconnect with relatives in the Philippines just in case.
We don't have family in the Philippines. Like, there's no, like, she's mentioned her aunt. We don't know them. She doesn't know them anymore. There's nothing there.
Mitchell says for her mother, Alma Bowman.
Love you, Moomin. I miss you.
Moomin, how so?
Her family and her life.
I love you.
I love you, Moomin.
Okay.
Have always been in the United States.
Later, okay?
For GPB News, I'm Grant Blankenship.
The general manager and CEO of Metro Atlanta's regional transit agency has resigned. Colley Greenwood has led MARTA since 2022. His departure has something to do with his immigration status. He's Canadian. But details were not shared during a board meeting when his departure was announced a few hours ago. Jennifer Ide chairs the MARTA board.
It is very unfortunate that immigration is a very complicated issue in the United States today. But Mr. Greenwood needed to make the decision that was best for him and his family, and his MARTA family will miss him tremendously.
Earlier in the day, MARTA officials provided an update on a Monday stampede that injured people on an escalator at a MARTA train station after a Beyonce concert. GPB's Amanda Andrews has that story.
The Metro Atlanta Rapid Transit Authority says the escalator at the Vine City station remains barricaded. State inspection confirms maintenance was performed on it last week. After the concert, extra staff members were in place to manage the crowd entering the station, but not at the escalators. Rhonda Allen is with MARTA. She says they'll be more aggressive about staffing going forward.
Our escalators really, we ask, you know, that we use, we're metering one person per step. And that is not what happened, you know, with that, the group of people trying to come down the escalator. The escalator was overloaded, you know, beyond its design capacity.
MARTA also saw a 25% increase in ridership compared to the last Beyoncé concert 2 years ago. For GPB News, I'm Amanda Andrews.
More than 150 people gathered in Athens for a protest to commemorate the late Congressman John Lewis today. WUGA's Emma Auer has more on one of the many events being held across the state.
The protest was one of several nationwide as part of the Good Trouble Lives On National Day of Action. It borrowed from the famous words of late Georgia Congressman and civil rights icon John Lewis, who died in 2020. Protester Gloria Hurd joined the crowd for one reason.
For good trouble.
The protesters lined a busy commercial corridor with posters critical of President Donald Trump's administration. Michael Call said he wanted to attend the event to honor Congressman Lewis.
I was a little boy when I first saw him, you know, and the way that he spoke, it inspired me to always keep up the fight. Having him as that leader made me want to do more and continue to do more.
No counter-protesters attended the event. For WUGA News, I'm Emma Auer.
Governor Brian Kemp has appointed a new justice to the state Supreme Court. Judge Benjamin Land was named to fill the seat vacated by former Chief Justice Michael Boggs, who stepped down in March. Land has served on Georgia's Court of Appeals since July 2022 and was previously a Superior Court judge. Kemp praised Land's fairness, work ethic, and integrity in a statement. Before becoming a judge, Land practiced law for about 26 years, focusing on civil litigation in Columbus.
When a massive chemical fire erupted at the biolab facility in Conyers, thick smoke filled the air, forcing evacuations. But for many, it wasn't the first time, and it wouldn't be the last. I'm Pamela Kirkland. In GPB's new podcast, Manufacturing Danger, The Biolab Story, I investigate what caused the fire, the response, and what it means for Conyers residents today. Listen at gpb.org/podcast or wherever you get your podcast.
President Donald Trump says that Coca-Cola had agreed to use real cane sugar in its flagship soft drink in the U.S. at his suggestion. The switch from high-fructose corn syrup in Coke sold in the United States would put Coca-Cola in line with its practice in other countries, including Mexico. Trump called the change a, quote, very good move, but the Atlanta-based Coca-Cola company didn't confirm the move, saying only that it appreciated Trump's enthusiasm while promising that more details on offerings within its products would be shared soon. Homeowners across Georgia are paying more than ever to protect their properties, and new data shows those costs are only climbing. According to LendingTree's State of Home Insurance report, the average cost of home insurance in Georgia is now more than $3,200 a year. That's well above the national average of $2,800, and that's up more than 35% since 2019. Experts say a mix of rising construction costs, inflation, and more frequent natural disasters are driving insurers to raise premiums. Three people who went missing while swimming at the Amerson River Park in Macon on Tuesday evening have been found dead. That's according to Bibb County Coroner Leon Jones. The victims include 7-year-old Summer Lewis, her 10-year-old sister Skylar Worthen, and 28-year-old Johnny Collins III, a local DJ known as Young. Family members say Collins was the boyfriend of the girl's mother. Officials say the three went under and did not resurface around 7:30 p.m. Tuesday, prompting someone to call 911. A dive team from the Macon-Bibb County Fire Department recovered their bodies yesterday. Relatives told the Macon Telegraph the victims were wearing life jackets. The Marietta School Board voted to install vape detectors in the bathrooms of middle and high schools in the district. The devices look like smoke detectors, but sense chemicals emitted from vape instead of smoke and send a silent alarm to school administrators. Marietta School District Chief Communications Officer Chris Fiore says the district plans to install the detectors before the start of the school year.
Our number one priority is student safety, right? And this is a part of that, making sure that our kids can come to school and learn in a safe place, that they can go to the restroom and not have to be worried about someone else vaping in there.
The Marietta School District paid for the devices in part with money received from a settlement reached in 2022 between e-cigarette manufacturer Juul and 34 states. Georgia was allocated $19 million in the settlement. A new airline is coming to Middle Georgia Regional Airport. Spirit Airlines will offer nonstop flights from Macon to Fort Lauderdale. Doug Feuer is the airport's aviation director. He says it's part of an effort to bring customers back to the airport.
We're taking baby steps to rebuild this and make a solid foundation. But the next step was an affordable carrier going to a destination that was popular for the residents in Macon.
It's Spirit Airlines' third destination to Georgia after Hartsfield-Jackson Atlanta International Airport and Savannah Hilton Head International Airport. Electric automaker Rivian plans to open an East Coast headquarters in Atlanta. The California-based company said today the office will employ 100 people by the end of the year, with 500 people eventually working there as it ramps up operations at its Georgia manufacturing site. Rivian plans to employ more than 7,000 people at a factory near Social Circle, about 45 miles east of Atlanta. Its Atlanta headquarters will occupy the top floors of an already built office on the city's popular bike and pedestrian trail, the Beltline, in the city's Old Fourth Ward neighborhood. The number of jobs in Georgia topped 5 million for the first time ever. The Georgia Department of Labor today announced the number of jobs rose in June by about 9,000 to the new record. The state's unemployment rate remained unchanged from May at 3.5%. Job gains were highest in healthcare and social assistance and arts, entertainment, and recreation. Jobs declines were highest in manufacturing and state government. And that's it for this edition of Georgia Today. Thank you so much for tuning in. If you want to learn more about any of these stories, check gpb.org/news. And make sure you subscribe to this podcast so we pop up in your feed automatically tomorrow. And if you've got feedback, send it our way by email. The address is georgiatoday@gpb.org. I'm Peter Biello. Thanks again for listening. We'll see you tomorrow.
When a massive chemical fire erupted at the biolab facility in Conyers, thick smoke filled the air, forcing evacuations. But for many, it wasn't the first time, and it wouldn't be the last. I'm Pamela Kirkland. In GPB's new podcast, Manufacturing Danger, the Biolab Story, I investigate what caused the fire, the response, and what it means for Conyers residents today. Listen at gpb.org/podcast or wherever you get your podcasts.